You have your scriptures, turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. We already read verses 1 to 5 at the beginning of service. Psalm 103. Now we are going to read verses 8 to 10. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Slow to anger and abounding in love. Once more, amen?
Amen?
I am glad that he is slow to anger with me. I know that for sure. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. Verse 10, I love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. That's grace. You know, I have said for many years, don't ask God for what you deserve. Don't say, Lord, give me what I deserve. Rather, you want grace. You want God's grace in your life. Lord Jesus, I just thank you this morning for your grace in our lives. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your salvation. Thank you, Lord, that you have loved us, cared for us. I pray that you would anoint our hearts and our ears to hear from you this morning. Be glorified in our response to you. In your blessed name, Lord. Very tragically, this past week, a young man who is a good friend of my children, my son played several years of baseball with him. A young man who seemingly had his whole life in front of him. He had a bright, an extremely bright future. Was snatched from this world and today faces eternity. Ian was 17 years old. He was going to graduate from high school this week. He was good enough in his grades and athletically that he had many offers to attend a university of his own choosing. Bright young man. Surely he had great plans. I'm convinced he had plenty of dreams. However, last week while visiting the cliffs over Sunset Beach, he slipped. He fell. He hit his head. Proceeded to fall into the ocean. His life snuffed out. Too early, too soon, too quickly. How fragile life is, how delicate we are, how precious the gift God gives us in that He gives us life. But that life is delicate. Those of you who play golf, I do not play golf, but if I did, I would take a lot of, what do you call them? Mulligans. You know what a mulligan is? It's a do-over. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to put that ball over there in those trees. Let me pick that ball up and put it back where it was. And it's a mulligan. It's a do-over. In life, there are no mulligans. There's no do-overs. If Ian could have his choice, I'm sure he would have chosen not to go up on those cliffs. If he knew what was going to happen, why go up on the cliffs? How precious life is. How delicate life is. In Psalm 103, if you go on down to verse 10, if you go down to verse 13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows He knows how we're formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. How precious life is, how fragile, how delicate. My heart has been heavy in the past few days, for we have seen much in the way of loss of life. Precious life. Delicate life, life that cannot be done over. For what is done is done. Senseless violence, lawlessness on our streets, and while discussions concerning the whole police brutality and racism are needed, the loss of precious, delicate, God-given life. The reality of how precious life is should not be overlooked. For all life is precious. There is no life that is valued over another. In God's eyes, all life is precious. All life should be treasured regardless of race or creed. Whether your name is Ian, life is precious, or George, or Robert, or Fred, or Bart, or Jennifer. All life is precious. It's a gift of God. It's a blessing from God. If you scan back up to verse 13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. There are some of your Bibles that would say pity. It's a little bit different than compassion. Pity. God has pity on us. The word pity is an interesting one, for it indicates a compassion. That element of compassion is there, but compassion based on the weaknesses or the shortcomings of another. When we pity someone, it's because we recognize their flaws, their weaknesses, their needs. How glorious that the infinite, all-knowing, all-powerful Creator God has mercy upon us, has pity upon us. After all, we're just dust. He remembers that we're just dust. After all, he created us. From dust we're created, and to dust we'll return. Fragile. Delicate. That is exactly one of the reasons God pities us. He realizes, he remembers how fragile our bodies are. In certain ways, we're very resilient, and we can adapt, and we can heal, and your body is fearfully and wonderfully made. Praise God. On the other hand, it's very delicate. He remembers our frame. We are poor and insignificant, especially in comparison to him, for he is eternal and we're mortal. He will never die, but we will die. For we are mortal. He is the creator. We're the creature. He is perfect and we are flawed. He is all-knowing and we are very limited in our understanding. And so our Heavenly Father looks down on us and he has pity on us, as a father looks to his children and has pity on them because of their weaknesses. So our Heavenly Father has compassion upon us. He takes pity on us, for whether we are subjected to the elements of nature or subject to an accident or a virus or even temptation we are very vulnerable. How we struggle against these things that we face. He looks from heaven and, oh, he has compassion. He has pity. He has pity on us because he remembers how delicate we are. So God has compassion upon us because of the fragility of our bodies. But he also has compassion on us, for we are hopeless in our sin. How many are our flaws? How often we fall? Subject to the whims of those around us. In Romans, Paul refers to the wretchedness of man, for that which we should do, we don't do, and what we shouldn't do, well, that's what we end up doing. How often we stray, not intentionally perhaps. I read to you from Isaiah 53, we all like sheep have gone astray. We've all gone our own way. And God in his pity and compassion on us has laid our iniquity on him, the iniquity of us all. Because of his great love for us. His compassions, they fail not. He also pities us because of our suffering. In this world, you will have trouble. I agree with Job. We should actually mourn as a baby is born and celebrate as they pass into glory, for this life is full of suffering and trouble. However, God is not a God that he takes joy in our infirmities. He is not pleased with our sufferings, although he does use our sufferings to draw us closer to him. He is not a sadistic God that he would celebrate our suffering. However, he has promised that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So he uses our sufferings. In all of these things, God is a compassionate God. As a father pities his children, so God pities us. In remembering our fragile frame, his mercy is extended to us. He gives strength to those who put their trust in him. As Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer, he heals our bodies because he is a compassionate, merciful, gracious God. For those who will ask wisdom, he freely gives wisdom. For those who will seek him with all of their heart, they will find him. For he desires relationship with them and to speak life into their lives, hope into their hopelessness, salvation into that sinful soul. He gives provision. He gives direction. He gives guidance. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion upon us. Recognizing our hopelessness in sin, Jesus Christ came and died that we might be forgiven and cleansed from all unrighteousness. It was in compassion that Christ Jesus left the splendor of heaven and became the God-man, so that he could be our kinsman redeemer. Through him we have passed from death unto life. We who were lost have now been found. We were blind, but now we see. We were in darkness, but now we walk in the light. Not because of anything we have done, but because of His compassion and His grace in our lives. For He has not dealt with us as we deserve. Rather, His grace, His love, His mercy has been extended toward us. Through Him, we now possess the blessed hope. I don't know the details. I don't know when. I don't know how. But my Lord Jesus is coming again. Amen. To take me that I might be where He is. It's our blessed hope. Today, Jennifer reminded me that it is our 23rd month, 23rd month anniversary. She says, do you know what today is? And I felt like a deer caught in the headlights. Is it D-Day? No, that was yesterday. And thank you for those of you who have served. Thank you for those of you who fought. Thank you for those who gave up loved ones that we might be free. Amen. Praise God. She said it's our anniversary. I am amazed that she would be pleased to spend her life with me. Amen. This morning I sat at breakfast and made paper airplanes and threw them across the room. You bet, yeah, it's true. It's true. But yet she loves me. Wants to be with me. Likewise, I do not know how Almighty God, why He would want to spend eternity with me. Yet He does. The blessed hope, He's coming to get us. He's coming to get you, that you might be where He is. Praise God. Today, we have an opportunity not to live in hate, but to live in love. Because we don't live as the world lives, we have been called into a new life with Him. Not only so, but God has poured out His love on us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. How overcome I am this morning with the love of God in my life. And I want you to appreciate and perhaps even become overwhelmed again afresh yourselves in the love of God for you. Oh, how He has loved you. He has loved you so much that He has chosen to call you His children. He's an ever-present help in time of trouble. Never does He abandon us. Never does He forsake us. I believe because He knows what kind of trouble we can get into on our own. Better not leave them alone. Lord, you better not leave me alone, for I am quick to get into trouble. An ever-present help. Never to leave, never to forsake. As far as the heavens are above the earth, that is how great His mercy or His love is for us. And you know what? That illustration, how high does the sky go? It goes out there a long ways. But you know what? It falls short because God's love for you is infinite. It's infinite. But if you go outside and you look at the sky and there's no clouds, you start looking at it, and that's how much God loves you. Overwhelmed by His love and His mercy. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far He has removed our sin from us. Can anyone say praise God? From everlasting to everlasting, His mercies never fail. From everlasting to everlasting, that means God's mercies were present and available and were poured out upon my parents, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, their parents before them, their parents before them, for 1,000 generations and more. From everlasting to everlasting, and it gives me assurance, for as my body succumbs to this world and I pass away and go into the presence of the Lord, His mercies will still be extended to my children and to their children and to their children and their generation and their generation and their generation, because God's mercies, they fail not. From everlasting to everlasting, His mercy is extended. My children are in the process of moving out on their own. They called us last evening, and they were sitting around their table, and we left quite a bit of stuff in that house that we have in Salem. We're going to sell that house, though. They're moving out on their own, but we left quite a bit of stuff for them so that they can still function. And they called us last night and they said, "So, what in the house can we have? What can we take with us?" And my heart goes out to them. And our answer was, "You can take anything you want. You take what you need. You take what you need." It's a difficult thing for me, and I'm sure you have experienced the same thing, as you watch your children grow up and then they begin to move out and they begin to have a life of their own. And you want to protect them, you want to cover them, you want to provide for them, but you realize they're to that point in their lives that... But you know what? I do not need to fret, for my Lord Jesus will watch over them. He will watch over them. He will cover them. His mercy will be extended to them as He has provided for me faithfully for the duration of my life, so He will watch over them. From generation to generation, from everlasting to everlasting, He is God, and He is compassionate, and His mercies, they fail not. I say, praise Him, church, for we serve an all-powerful God who is more than able. I say, praise Him, church, for we serve a forgiving God. For we are hopeless in our sin without Him. I say, praise Him, church, for we serve a compassionate God, an eternal God. Psalm 103, 1. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank You, Lord.